Good morning and Merry Christmas. Welcome to all those who are here in person and those who are joining us through our Zoomcast. I'm Roger Huffman, vacancy pastor here at Peace Lutheran in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Today is both the fourth Sunday in Advent and, of course, the day of Christmas Eve. And so the service this morning will be celebrating both of those events together. And we rejoice to have you with us for this celebration and invite you to rise and call all the faithful to worship as we sing the opening hymn, O Come All You Faithful, hymn 354. Dear people of God, in this Christmas season, it is our duty and delight to hear again the message of the angels, and in heart and mind, go to Bethlehem and see the things which have come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us, the Christ child lying in a manger. Today we celebrate the incarnation of our Lord, reviewing the story of God's loving purpose from the fall into sin, so the glorious redemption manifest in this holy child. But first, let us pray for people all over the world who delight with us in knowing the good news of Jesus Christ, who would join with us in singing his praise. Let us pray for the people of this area and all those in our own congregation. And because this would please our Lord, let us remember in his name the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry, the oppressed, the sick, those who are sad, the lonely and the unloved, and the elderly and little children. Yes, especially remember all those who do not know the Lord Jesus, those who do not know his love and thus do not love him, and those who sin have grieved their Savior. Finally, let us remember before God all those in heaven who rejoice with us, who live in the full light of the glorious, gracious majesty of Christ, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, who died in faith and who live before the throne of God and praise Him day and night in His temple. We rejoice that we are united with them as we are united with one another. All this we sum up in the petitions as Jesus taught us to pray. Let us pray as Jesus said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May be seated. Gathered in God's house with Advent anticipation, we light the fourth Advent candle. It is clear the day is near to rejoice in the arrival of God, our Savior. Prepared with humble awe, we welcome the Lord, our peace. Today we close this season of anticipation. Anticipation for Christmas, of course, but also a time that's designed to unite and tune our hearts with those people who spent 4,000 years in anticipation for the coming promised Savior to be fulfilled. Hear now that promise that filled them with anticipation.
Reading from Genesis chapter 2 and 3. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say, You must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will surely die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, Where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
God wasn't talking to Adam and Eve. Did you notice the name that is used there? It's the Lord, Yahweh, the God of mercy and love. And yet, when the promise was given, he was speaking to the devil. That's when the promise was revealed before Adam and Eve. The announcement that he would send the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, who would crush that wicked usurper, became a promise for all human beings, all the descendants of Adam and Eve. The promise that there would be the woman's offspring who would come and crush Satan's power so that they could be set free from his ruthless, deceptive control and be restored as children of God. Here, right in the very beginning pages of Scripture, God reveals a golden thread that he had prepared from eternity, one that he had spun and prepared to bring throughout all of Scripture. It is the thread that weaves throughout the Scripture from beginning to end, not only Scripture, but it is also the thread that weaves throughout history from beginning to end. He is the purpose of history. It is rightly said, history is his story. This is not merely some fanciful little device of Bible teachers to come up to remember that the truth of Christ. It's actually what Jesus said himself in front of those who were very familiar with the Scripture and yet refused to recognize him as the fulfillment, as the golden thread himself. And Jesus said in John 5, "You study the Scripture diligently because you think that when you have them, that in them you have eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Scripture is all about Jesus. And today we will be searching and sampling the Scripture as we follow this golden thread, this promise of the coming Savior. The Lord made it clear. Jesus is the promised one, the only one who can give eternal life. And that's why our service has the theme, Christ the Babe looks up at the cross, at himself on the cross. This is the divine meaning of Christmas. So, lift up your heads and welcome him as we sing hymn 4 from the old hymnal, melody that's in the old hymnal. Lift up your heads, ye gates. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. A male offspring of a woman? That's kind of a broad description, isn't it? If you're going to be looking for this one, you would have to go and check out every baby boy that came along and watch to see if that child was also struggling with sin and therefore not the one to set us free. For roughly 2,000 years, Yahweh, the Lord, had let the people live with that promise. But then he finally came along and narrowed the field down a little bit. He came and he revealed that this seed of the offspring of the woman would be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and in the lesson we'll see, also a descendant of King David. All of these men, and please note it as you listen to these lessons, were humbled to think that the golden thread would pass through their line, for they knew that they were unworthy and they needed the promised Savior as much as you and I. So listen with them in awe as the Lord reveals this to them and us.
Readings from Genesis and 2 Samuel. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make into you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." He, Jacob, had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, and its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his." The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will be established a house for you. When your days are over and your rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever.
David's response to these words was total awe, as it spoke both about his immediate descendant Solomon becoming king and building the temple, but also of the Lord Jesus who would come and build his church. Join together with the patriarchs and the prophets in praising God for making all of this clear to them and to us as we sing hymn 315. Let the earth now praise the Lord. 315. Who is this descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and David that he could crush Satan's power. No mere man could do that. Eve sensed it when God made the promise. Others seem to have caught it as well. While fully human, he had to be the eternal God, the mighty Savior. But how? How could he both be the offspring of woman and God? He would be the son of the virgin woman, the Son of God, as the Lord reveals in this golden thread.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and shall call him Emmanuel. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay.
How rightly the psalmist teaches us that none of us can fill the shoes. We'd have to be a very special offspring of the woman. Many have raised up their voices to point out that the Hebrew text of Isaiah 7 uses a word that could be translated young woman as well as it could be translated virgin. My friends, do not be deceived or disheartened by them. Many times in the name of scholarship, people get very narrow focused. They don't look at the context. They don't look at what the scripture itself says. Here it says specifically that he would give them a sign. A sign means the working of God that could not be done in normal nature. In other words, a miracle. Yes, we often wonder and marvel at any and every pregnancy. They are truly a marvel of God's created order. But a pregnancy is not a miracle. Even among those who have challenges getting pregnant. But this one would be a miracle because no man, human male, would be involved in this pregnancy. What's important to understand, not only with the word sign, but also the context. Isaiah had been the voice of God to give the king Ahaz an amazing promise that when all looks like it was going to fail, the Lord promises that he's going to give an unexpected deliverance. And then to confirm that this was a message from God, the Lord spoke before our text. The Lord spoke to King Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." Wow, not just what an offer, what a command. But the king in his arrogance dismissed the Lord's gracious promise with a pious sounding phrase, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Ahaz, by not listening to the Lord, you did put him to the test. Your hypocritical humility will not cut it. And so in response to it, the Lord does give him a sign, a promise that is truly amazing. In fact, he reveals the greatest miracle that God would ever work, the divine, miraculous virgin birth. We join with the hymn writer, "Where Shepherds Lately Knelt," to realize that when we come to the manger, we don't only meet Mary and Joseph and the baby. We meet Isaiah and all the other prophets who revealed this golden thread wine in a manger. Hymn 345, where shepherds lately knelt, verses 1, 3, and 4 of hymn 345. The golden thread has gradually led us to have a clearer ways to mark the identity of the Messiah. It narrowed it down among all people, but it still left the question, where and when? The Lord came to assure his people that he had not forgotten his promise. He offers clues that heightened the anticipation of hope. The reveal, the when, the where, and the promise that he'll not spring it on them, but will send a special voice to introduce him so they would not miss him.
Readings from the books of Daniel, Micah, and Isaiah. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she is in labor. She who is in labor bears a son. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
This golden thread would appear in a way that all people would see as the last lesson revealed and pointed to with what we know would be John the Baptist. It's clear from the Daniel passage that the one that is the main focus of this, that lesson, is the eternal Savior King, who has the title a son of man? We who know the New Testament know that son of man was Jesus' favorite term to refer to himself. And yet this son of man was to be worshipped with God's approval, Clearly, the one that is promised here has to be both God and man. So again, that affirms for us his identity, his nature, his character, but I promised you that this would tell us when. That's where context, again, is very important. The words that we have read from Daniel come in a section where the Lord has given a vision to his prophet and servant Daniel. A dream that disturbed him greatly is four beasts arose, and then the Lord reveals to him what these beasts are. They are four kingdoms. Four kingdoms before the Messiah would come. The Babylonian kingdom that he served under, the Persian kingdom that was about to come about, the Greek kingdom that would come with Alexander the Great, and then finally, the kingdom of Rome. God was promising that his Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem during the kingdom of the Roman Empire. He had let his golden thread become vivid and bright with splendor as he reveals who, where, and when. Let us go to that place in that time as we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, hymn 333, verses 1 and 2. Among all the believers that were waiting through all that time with anticipation for the arrival of their Savior, the promised Messiah, the offspring of the woman, there would be a young girl in a faraway, little-known town called Nazareth, a girl named Mary. And suddenly her life would change, as God would send none less than an angel from heaven to reveal to her that he was going to work his greatest wonder of all, his most profound miracle, the virgin birth of the Son of God, and work it through her. This event is recorded in history by Luke for us to see how the golden thread entered the stage of history for all to see.
From Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
Did you notice? Mary did not have any questions about him being the Son of God, descendant of David, or any other wonderful marvels. She anticipated those things based on the golden thread throughout the Old Testament. She knew her scriptures. Her only question was, Lord, what next? And he reveals to her how he carries out that miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know the story. Mary learned this news. Few others would. And that's why the Lord saw to it that the message should be proclaimed to us. Let us join together in singing, Gentle Mary, Lay Her Child, in hymn 56, verses 1 and 3, 5, 6. Right here, the Lord has taken this long golden thread and woven it together throughout history and time to bring fulfillment in this place at his time, just as he promised. Not only was Mary favored, but all who believe what God had promised and anticipated were favored, have God's favor, as we do who listen to the promise fulfilled, as Luke records the historic events for us as Jesus enters history with his birth.
Luke, the second chapter. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
We are truly favored to have heard this story and to believe this news, not as mere religious myth, but as actually reality, history, God entering the world just as he had promised through the promised one. I invite you to sing the wonders of the incarnation which we have come to know by the power of the Word of God, the golden thread that has been spun before our very eyes. We may know him and believe. Please join in singing the hymn 358, Of the Father's Love Begotten, hymn 358. Because the facts were laid out for 4,000 years, who the Messiah would be, where he bore, when. And now we have an account before us that is fact, history. The day that Jesus entered the history as full man as well as full God. As far as we know, the only ones that knew at this moment of Jesus' birth were Mary and Joseph. But there were so many others that were anticipating his coming, who knew the golden thread, were waiting for it to be fulfilled. God could not keep this a secret. He wanted the world to know. He was born for the world. And so he made it known, not to the rich and famous, not to the Bible scholars, not to the powerful, but to humble people, to shepherds, who in faith look forward to the promise of the Savior and became the first to know it and to share it. Let the angel proclaim this good news to you in this lesson as if you were listening to it for the first time. Let it hit us as new news so that we are equally eager to share the message with others.
Continuing, Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Let us unite our voices with those of the angels in proclaiming the elements of the golden thread that God has revealed to us as we sing hymn 350, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," hymn 350. This festival that we celebrate is called Christmas and Christmas Eve. It's also known as the Nativity of our Lord, the birth of our Lord. But what we are particularly celebrating is the incarnation. Here we have brought this beautiful golden thread that God has laid out for people to see, that so when it arrived, was placed in a manger, we would recognize him and believe in him. John sets the record straight for people who are beginning to question whether Jesus was truly God and man. And he lays out this account in his gospel, beginning with the words, "in the beginning," echoing the very first book of the Bible, making clear to people that what he's laying out here is historic fact, reality. And with it also reminding us that history is not chiefly about people and what they have accomplished, or even their foolishness, what they have built up and then turned around and destroyed. History is really about the Word. Jesus, the Word, made flesh. John sets the record straight, revealing the full glory of this golden thread, the man who is the great wonder, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us, to rescue us and reclaim us as his own.
From John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
John has truly proclaimed to us a great wonder. Now it is your turn. Your turn to proclaim this wonder as we sing a great and mighty wonder, hymn 349, verses 1, 2, and 4 of hymn 349. When you gather and look into the manger and see this little child that looks as helpless as any other baby, you would be forgiven to wonder, how can this one crush the serpent's head? But the scripture has told us what's there. Looks are truly deceiving. He would crush Satan's head, but not just at the end of his life. The fact is he crushed Satan's head every step of the way, every day of his life. As he constantly defeated any temptation that Satan or all of his allies would throw at him. And then finally, crushing Satan's head, his power that he held, that power to hold us over us sinners, the threat of death. He crushed all of these with the cross and the empty tomb. Have you ever noticed that many times when you see a depiction of the Nativity, there's a star hanging over the manger, the stable? We don't know if a star was seen there then or not, but that star is usually depicted as a four-point star, with the bottom point longer, as pointing to the manger, but hanging over the manger in the form of a cross. Jesus knew why he was born and where he was headed. This truth is proclaimed in the music of Bach's Christmas Oratory, I'm told, by the fact that as you hear the angels sing their message, you suddenly realize that there was a tune playing in the background that you hadn't noticed before until the angel sound disappears. A familiar tune, what is it? Oh, O sacred head now wounded, but not in the normal minor key, but in a major key, to proclaim the good news that had been born, that he was born to be that sacred head wounded who would reach his ultimate goal of winning the victory that none of us could win and winning it for us on the cross, where he would justly and fully pay for all of our sins, that incomprehensible load, so that death could no longer claim us or take us away from Satan. He came to be born that Satan would lose, and he would, because that's what the golden thread promised. And all those who trust that this baby came to die on the cross for them have the impact of that great work that God had announced right there in the garden when he promised to crush Satan's head. How do we know that these events happened? We've pointed out that Luke recorded the history, John gave witness to it, but now we come to see that the one who was on the cross was witnessed by the women who stood at a distance, who knew him personally and saw him fulfill what history had promised, even though they didn't yet fully understand it. And so history continues to testify to us that this golden thread that God had promised has actually come on the stages of history before us. So we can see that what we believe is reality. What God promised, he has accomplished. He is a God who works in this world, in our lives, to rescue and save us, to keep us as his very own. I invite you to sit with the women across from the cross and look at him who looked up from the manger to see his own death for us, to crush Satan's head.
Reading from Matthew chapter 27. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head they placed the written charge against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs.
Do you see there were more witnesses than just the women? The centurion, who probably at once joined them in mocking, saw he was the Son of God. Those who would serve at the temple would see where the great curtain had been split in two by God's divine hand, announcing that there was no barrier between God and man anymore. Through Christ, we can enter the presence of God. We are his people. And faithful people who had been waiting for the Messiah, God actually raised them from the dead and waited until Jesus appeared to go in and testify that truly death has been defeated. What you and I believe is not wishful thinking. It's not a man-made religion. It's a divinely revealed reality, the golden thread that weaves throughout Scripture and weaves throughout history, even in our own time. See the promise. Treasure it, for it is real and is yours in Christ. Join with Christians throughout all the ages in proclaiming the joy of this event, that Jesus has indeed defeated the curse, as we bring joy to the world, hymn 353, verses 1, 3, and 4 of 353.
Thank you.
You're invited to rise for prayer. Before we offer the prayer that's in here, we're also going to offer the mission prayer of the week, which is a prayer for our publishing tool, Northwestern Publishing House, because it provides for us resources that keep on unfolding this golden thread, proclaiming it a world that questions its historic reality, so that not only can we have it for the strengthening of our own faith, but it can be a tool that we use, like the shepherds and the angels, to proclaim the wonder that has been now known to us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, whose birth we celebrate, we praise you for the gift of Northwestern Publishing House. Living in a world that is bombarded by falsehoods, we thank you for NPH's commitment to print Christ-centered materials that support God's people. Help us recognize NPH not only as a resource for our current Wells members, but also as an outreach tool to people of all backgrounds. Continue to bless the efforts of everyone at NPH as they strive to proclaim the gospel in printed form. Lord, in your mercy. When all was still, in the middle of the night, your eternal word, O Lord, appeared in the stage of history, born of a woman, as promised, to dwell among us. Let your word so richly dwell in each and every one of us, so we are relieved, renewed, and refreshed by his peace. Open our hearts and mouths to proclaim your gracious goodwill to all people on earth, for he is the promised Savior of all, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we receive the candle from the Christ, light from the Christ candle, please remember that always never tip a lit candle. Tip your unlit candle into it. Whoops. Gonna do what we said not to do. Nope, that didn't work either. Thank you. You may extinguish your candles. May he who by his incarnation gathered things earthly and heavenly into one fill us with the great joy that comes with the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins, our reconciliation with the living God, and the full, sure hope of eternal life. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. I rejoice and praise God for each and every one of you because you contributed to this worship service with your singing and your participation. I thank the Lord for our readers and for our musicians that have made this part of this festival occasion a little extra special. Also rejoice that you've all adapted to our current circumstances. While this is not our normal Christmas, the Word of God does remain normal. And we praise God that our Lord Jesus is a whole lot more durable than our Christ candle. For his light never goes out, no matter what it looks like. We've prepared for you a number of resources that will be available through our website this evening if you wish to gather with your family and worship again. Last year's Christmas Eve service will be posted there for you for availability. I think there's also going to be a Christmas service also posted or not? I know that there's going to be a devotion that I will be providing a recording. Christmas Day. So you can look for a Christmas Day devotion as well tomorrow, less than 10 minutes with a prayer. What we believe in is not just something we were taught in Sunday school. What we believe in is the Word. The eternal word. What a marvelous title for Jesus. Proclaimed throughout the word, his word continues to go out. The word that brought all into existence is the one that brings reconciliation to us. May we rejoice in this continued celebration of the incarnation of the word of God, that golden thread God has revealed in history, both in scripture and in time, for all to see. Rejoice in it so that you're moved to share it with others. Reach at the door.